Pirkei Deblyezer, Perek Dalet. We're going to zoom through the Perek and finish it tonight. For the record, we skipped this Perek in the beginning because it deals with a lot of Kabbalistic ideas and things that happen with the Maaseh Merkava, the famous vision of Yechezkel, where he saw Kibiyachol, the Shechina, and different aspects of what's going on in Shemayim, which for the most part is Kabbalistic. We're just going to go through the Medrash, focus on Pasha Pshat in the Medrash and whatever we can understand. The Radal goes way into Kabbalah, which is like way over my head because I'm not even 40, so I didn't start learning Kabbalah yet. But that's what the Radal does. There's a few pieces of Radal that we'll speak at because I think that we can understand them at least on some level. And basically that's what we're going to work. There's a few things that come up with davening, different things that we say in tefillahs that are based on or parallel what we're going to see in the Medrash tonight. So we'll just mention those things when we get there. And for the most part, these things, the descriptions of the Kisei HaKavein or whatever, are also brought in other Midrashim and Sifrei Kabbalah. There's a whole literature out there called Sifrei Hecholos, the Hecholos works, written by Tanoim, from the time of Tanoim, about different people who went up to Shemayim and they saw different things that are happening in Shemayim, Kisei HaKavein and Gehenim and Ganin and all these things, how it works. So this is just like one small taste of like that whole genre. So let's start. Perek Dalet, if we remember, is holding towards the beginning of the creation of the world, where the first few proclamations said Perek Dalet was going through the creation of the world. So Perek Gimel spoke about Hashem created the first day of creation and before the first day. Perek Dalet starts with Hashem created the second day of creation. B'sheni, on the second day of creation, Baruch Kadosh Baruch Hu es Rakia. Hashem created the Rakia. Rakia usually means the firmament, the sky, which the pasuk says is to separate between the upper waters and the lower waters of the world. The Rabbah in Chumash explains that the upper waters doesn't literally mean water, because if you look, there's no water up in the sky. The Rabbah says that the upper waters refers to space. So the sky or the atmosphere or whatever is supposed to be the difference, to differentiate between the waters down here and the waters above, meaning space. That's what it means, the Rakia, according to the Rabbi. V'amalachim, and the angels. There's other Midrashim the angels were created on the second day of creation, according to this Midrash over here. Bereishis Rabbah, and in Midrash Seicher Toiv, Mizmor Chaf Dalet, there's a machlokes, when were angels created? Were angels created on the second day of creation, or were they created on the fifth day of creation? Why would they be created on the fifth day of creation? Because it says about angels, b'shtayim ya'ayfef, with two wings they fly. The word ya'ayfef sounds like oif, like a bird. So in certain ways, angels are like birds. So because they're like birds, you would think they were created on the fifth day of creation when Hashem created the fish and the birds. So there's machlokes if malachim were created the second day of creation or the fifth day of creation. The Radal speaks out that in the Zohar, it's evident that both opinions are correct. There's in a certain way some groups of angels were created the second day, and some groups of angels were created on the fifth day of creation. We'll see. The Radal has a deal in the Medrash later on that sounds like there are angels that were created at other times, not just the second day. And then he brings that there's another Zohar that sounds like there were angels created also on the first day of creation. But he says that the consensus of the other Midrashim is that there weren't any angels created the first day of creation. The next line, V'ishay shel basar v'dam, and fire of basar v'dam, of humankind. Fire as we know it, according to this Medrash, was created on the second day of creation. Now, the Radal points out that there's a Gemara in Pesachim that says that fire was created right now, on Mitzvah Shabbos, right? The Mitzvah Shabbos of creation, and we spoke about that later on in Perek Chaf. When Hashem sent a fire down from Shemayim on Mitzvah Shabbos, so it sounds like fire as man relates to fire came from Mitzvah Shabbos. So what the Radal does is he wants to change the gersa. It says v'ha'esh chutz mi'esh shel basar v'dam. Fire Except for the fire as we know it. Not fire that we relate to fire, but rather the Radal says the element of fire. Like there's a concept that the world was created with four elements: fire, water, air, and dirt, which maybe comes from Greek philosophy or not, but there's such a concept. And
the Rambam speaks about it, but he doesn't say it's from Greek.
Okay.
It
comes from philosophy, whatever. But there's something called like the elemental fire that the Mefarshim speak about, and the Radal says that that's what the Medrash means, was created on the second day of creation. Elemental fire, as opposed to the fire that we relate to.
The Ramban also is speaking, I think, about the non-elemental, not the fire that we speak of, the element, not the fire that we speak of. I'm not clear on what.
Could be.
And my kasha is, doesn't Torah
fire and black Shemaim, fire on written on white fire,
and the Shemayim, the Aret, the Shemayim is created.
What's Shemayim? Rashi says Shemayim is Ish V'mayim.
That's the day before.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly what that means either.
These are kashas.
V'ish Ish al Gehenim, and also was created on the second day was the fire of Gehenim. Now the Bais HaGadol and the Marzu ask that earlier in Pirkei Avos and in Perek Gimel, we said that the Gehenim was created before Hashem created the world. So how are we saying that the fire of Gehenim was created on the second day? So they both answer that no. This way we said that Gehenim was created before the creation of the world is the place of Gehenim. Where Gehenim is going to be, that space in the world, that Hashem set aside before the creation of the world. But the actual fire only came about in the second day of creation. Fine. Ask the Medrash. Halei Shemayim ve'aretz nivru b'yom rishon. Weren't the Shemayim and Aretz created on the first day of creation? In the beginning, when Hashem created the Shemayim and the Eretz. I guess we could render the pasuk like that, right? So the first thing Hashem created was the Shemayim v'Aretz. So how could you say that Hashem created the Rakia on the second day? The Rakia makes a differentiation between Shemayim v'Aretz. So if that's true, then the Rakia must have already been there on the first day, because then you can't say Hashem created Shemayim v'aretz. There is no Shemayim v'aretz unless there's something separating the two. Ve'ezer Rakia bara b'yom sheni. So what Rakia did Hashem create? Which Rakia did Hashem create on the second day? Says the Medrash, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Rakia sh'al reshe arba ha'chayes. We're talking about the Rakia, the firmament, which is on top of the four chayas. We're going to speak later on what are the four chayas. Shema, as it says in the pasuk, Udmus al reishay hachaya rokia ke'en akerach hanayra. The image on top of the chaya is like a rakia, is like some sort of covering, a canopy, some sort of firmament type thing. Ke'en akerach hanayra, like the awesome kerach, like the awesome ice or snow or something like that. Remember, another point that I wanted to mention in the beginning is that when we're going to say all kinds of different descriptions that seem to be physical descriptions, but of course whatever we hear is obviously has deeper Kabbalistic implications, and we shouldn't take it mamish at face value. We're going to learn it on a Pashat level and just try to translate it and understand what Pashat Pashat is saying. But you can't say that it literally means that this is what it was. We're gonna just read it like that and know that, you know, when it says this, it means something deeper, it means something more than that. So like this is a prime example of that. Umahu ke'en har kerach hanayra. What does it mean that it's like this awesome ice? It means kavonim tayvos amargolios, that it's like good precious stones. Avonim Taivez are like good stones, meaning precious stones, umagolios and gems. Vuhu meir al kol hashamayim kener shuhu meir babayis, and that and it lights up the entire heavens like a candle which lights up in the house. The Radal has the words shuhu meir babayis. The other gear says shuhu babayis.
That's
it makes this major light over there. We've actually seen this in other places in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Yud, where we talk about the eye of the big fish that swallowed Yonah, and in Perek Chav Gimel, when we talk about the Teva of Nayach, that there's these precious gems that like bring out light. Says the Medrash, taking that idea of these kerach, this kerach hanoira, bringing out light, kerach hanoira. I guess the word is that we're learning noira is coming from like lashon of oira, something like that. Kerach hanoira literally means the awesome ice, and we're darshaning it to mean like the ice that makes light. V'chashemesh shehu meir b'gvurosei batzoharayim, and like the sun who illuminates with its power at noon time. Shinemat says the pasuk in Ohara imei shirei, and its light is dwelling with it. Uchamaisai, and similarly, hatzadikim asidim lahayir la'asud lavay. Similarly, the righteous people are destined to lighten up in the future. They're going to make the tzadikim themselves are going to be like light. Shinema, as it says in the pasuk, v'hamaskilim yazhiru kizayar rakia. Hamaskilim, the enlightened ones, meaning the tzadikim, yazhiru kizayar rakia. They're going to be luminescent like the light of the sky. So the tzadikim they themselves are going to give off light. Actually, Chazal tell us that Chazal in Maseches Bava Basra bring this pasuk and they apply it to Gabei Tzedakas. That maskilim doesn't mean tzadikim in general, but it means the person who's a Gabei Tzedakah. People who are Gabei Tzedakas in the future, they're going to be like, they're going to give off light. Other place, Chazal tells us that V'ayavav kitzes Hashemesh b'gvurasei. The ayavav, the ones who love Hashem, are like kitzes Hashemesh b'gvurasei, when the sun goes out in its power. So what does it mean like when the sun goes out in its power? What's the power of the sun? So the Radal brings down that the Targum Yonason says that it's referring to the fact that in the future the moon is going to be like the sun is now, and the sun is going to be 49 times more powerful than the sun is now. And that's what it means, Kashemish Bigvurasai, at its most powerful point ever. It'll be when it's 49 times more powerful. Orachama Shiva Sayim, K'or Shiva Sayamim, but Shiva Sayim means 49 times. So the sun is going to be 49 times more powerful. So the tzaddikim in the future are going to be 49 times, their light is going to be 49 times more powerful than the sun. Whatever exactly that means. That's what the Targum Yonason says. But the Radal says that according to our Medrash, what it means is, what does it mean, the power of the sun? It means the sun at noontime. And that's what the Radak says in that pasuk over there. It means the sun at noontime, which is the most powerful time of the day. It doesn't mean 49 times more powerful than the sun nowadays. Well, like it'll be in Yimei HaMashiach. No, it just means the most amount of power that the sun will be in Olam Hazeh. So that's the Medrash. V'ilulei harakia hahu, if it wasn't for that firmament, haya ha'olam nifla min ha'mayim shelamala mimenu ulamata mimenu mayim. The world would be swallowed up from the waters which are above it and the waters which are below it. And this, it, the rakia, separates between those two mayims, so I guess that they won't like join together and swallow up the world. As it says in the pasuk, Hashem said there should be a rakia within the mayim. And it shall separate between the waters and the waters, between the upper waters and the lower waters. Fine. The angels that were created on the second day, meaning, as opposed, the Radal says, as opposed to angels that were created on a different day. So here you have a diuk in the Medrash that says that some angels were created on Monday, but some angels were created on other days of the week. Right? So, and the angels that were created on Monday, kishehen nishlachim, when they're sent out bidvoroi to do Hashem's word, nasin ruchis, they become like spirits. Uchishehen misharsin lefanav, and when they serve in front of Hashem, nasin shel esh, they're made out of fire. Shinema, it says in the pasuk, eisei malachav ruchis, he made his angels spirits, misharsav esh lehet, and his servants are burning fires. So are angels spirits or fires? So the Medrash reconciles that steer in the pasuk by explaining that angels are sometimes spirits and sometimes they're like fire. And the Radal says that this idea also has precedent in the Zohar in Sefer Rus and in Parshas Truma, that sometimes the angels are fire and sometimes the angels are ruchos. Fine. Now we get into some specific angels. Arba kitos shel malachei yesharis melkasim lefnei kodesh baruch hu. There's four classes of ministering angels that give praise in front of Hashem. What are the four classes? Machane Rishayna shel Michoel miminoy. The first camp is the camp of Michoel on the right side of Hashem. Machane Shnia shel Gavriel al Smoiloy. The second camp is the camp of Gavriel on the left side of Hashem. Machane Shlishis shel Uriel Milfanov. The third camp is the camp of Uriel, which is in front of Hashem. Machane Revius shel Refoil Melacharov. The fourth camp is the camp of Rifal, which is behind the Shechina. All of this, obviously, is Kibiyachol, because Hashem doesn't have a physical existence, so you can't say in front or behind, left or right. U'shechinotah shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'emtza. And the holy presence, the Shechina of Hashem, is in the middle. V'hu yoyishev al kisei ron v'nisa. And he, Hashem, is sitting on a high and exalted chair. And his chair is taller and hanging above these four groups in the sky, in the air. So like there's these four groups on different sides, right, left, front, and back, and then there's the Kisei HaKovod that's like floating on top of them, right? We say like this. The Marzu says that there's another Gersa in the Medrash Psikta Rabasi who has it slightly differently. In the Psikta Rabasi, it's Uriel that's on the left side of Hashem and Gavriel, which is in front of Hashem. But we don't have that Gersa. Our Gersa in Pirkei de Eliezer, it says Gavriel's on the left, Uriel is in front. Right? So here we have the four angels, right? Michal on the right, Gavriel on the left, Uriel in the front, Rufal in the back. Those are the four groups of angels. We say this on by Krishma Lamita. The nusach is B'shem Hashem Elikei Yisrael, Mimini Michoel, on my right is Michoel, Mismoili Gavriel, on my left is Gavriel, Mufonai Uriel, in front of me is Uriel, Mechorai Rufal, and behind me is Rufal, Valroishi Shkinas Kel. And on my head, in the middle of all of them, is going to be the Shekhinah's Kel, above them, the holy presence of Hashem. Right? That's the Nusach we say in Kriyat Shema Lamita. Similarly, we also say this in Yom Kippur by Mincha. In Chazor Sashatz, the Chazan says, Michoel, Mimini Malalal, Gabriel, Mismoy Malalal, Bashomayim Enkel, Voretz, Mikyam Bacho Yisrael. Right, so we said the same thing over there. Mimini Michoel, Mismoy Gabriel, and there's no one else like Hashem. And then Uvaretz Mikam Bacha Yisrael. And in the land, who's like Klal Yisrael? And we're gonna see what's the connection to Mikam Bacha Yisrael later on in the parak. It comes up. What's the connection between what we're discussing over here and Mikam Bacha Yisrael? Fine. Another point is like this. This is a very gishmakish thing that I just saw this afternoon. The Sefer Emunas Chachamim from Rav Aviad Sar Sholoim of Basila, one of the early Achrayim. It's a sefer he wrote defending Kabbalah against philosophy. In Perek Chav Talad in Emunas Chachamim, he brings in the name of his Rebbe, the Ramaz, Rav Moshe Zakut, who's one of the... Rav Moshe Zakut is one of the people who's known for sort of bringing Kabbalah bringing it down in a way that you could sort of understand it, like systemize it, making a system out of it.
After the Arizal?
After the Arizal, yeah. So the Ramaz... The Ramaz says like this. We know, we're talking about the different camps, there's four camps of Lachim. Yeah? So he says that the four camps of Malachim, the Arba Machanos, Arba Kitos, Arba Machanos of Malachim, correspond to the four camps of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. Could I know this by heart? The four camps of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. There's four camps: Machne Yehuda, Machne Reuven, Machne Ephraim, and Machne Dan. Right? Machne Yehuda was Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. Machne Reuven is Reuven, Shimon, Gad. Machne Ephraim is Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin. And Machne Dan is Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. Those are the four camps of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar. Yeah. So the Ramaz says a very geschmack of art. It says, when Yaakov Avinu, after 11 out of 12 tribes had been born in Haran, and he decided he's going to go back to Eretz Yisrael, so on his way back to Eretz Yisrael, in the end of Parshas Vayetze, it says that he met a group of angels. And Vayemer Yaakov Kasher Ra'am, Yaakov said when he saw them, Machaneli Kim Ze, this is the camp of Hashem, Vayikra Hashem Amalkei Machanoyim. And he called the name of that place Machanoyim, which is derived from the word camp. Right? Says the Ramaz, the word Vayomer Yaakov Kasher Ra'am, Yaakov Avinu said when he saw them, Ra'am, Resh Aleph Mem, says the Rosh HaTevis, Rafael, Uriel, Michoel. These three groups of Malachim. What about the fourth group? What about Gavriel? So he says, Gavriel not. Why? Because at this point in history, Gavriel, he says, is connected Machane Ephraim. So what's Ephraim? Ephraim is Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin. Those were the three people that weren't born yet. So Yaakov Avinu didn't see the Malachim which correspond to Machane Ephraim, because Ephraim, Menashe, and Binyamin, who makes up Machane Ephraim, they weren't born yet. So it was just three camps. It was Raphael, Uriel, and Michoel, which are connected with Machne Yehuda, Machne Reuven, and Machne Dan. That's his word. Beautiful, no? And obviously, okay, whatever, we've spoken about this in the past, that Michoel is the angel of Rachamim, because the right side is Rachamim, and the left side is Din. Gavriel is the angel of Gvura. Gavriel is Lashon Gvura. It has to do with Din. Well, there's another point I wanted to say over here, and I'm not going to remember it right now. Oh, the Mufarshim, I think this comes from the Arizal. They say that there's only five angels that you're allowed to say their names. There's only five angels that you're allowed to say their names, and the Rosh HaTevis, remember them, is Argamon.
Argamon?
Argamon. Aleph, Resh, Gimel, Mem, Nun. Uriel, Raphael, Gavriel, Michoel, and Nuriel. Those are the five names of angels that you're allowed to say. Five. V'chisai Gavoyav, Umaris Kvaidoi, the site of his glory is Ke'en ha-chashmal. It's like a chashmal. Shinema, it says in the pasuk, Vo'era ke'en chashmal. This is from Yechezkel's vision of the Ma'aseh Merkava. He says, Vo'era ke'en chashmal. I saw like a chashmal. So what does it mean when Yechezkel says he saw like a chashmal? What does chashmal mean? What's the word chashmal mean? So in modern Hebrew, the word chashmal means electricity.
Because when Ben Yehuda went to Rav Kook to say, what should we call this thing called electricity, Rav Kook said, Chashmal.
Really?
I think so.
I never heard of it.
I'm saying that because Ben Yehuda would frequent Rav Kook's.
Yes, that I've heard, yes.
Now, I think it's very passionate that Chashmal kind of means like a light, seemingly.
It has something to do with light or amber or ember or something, flashing light.
When Rav Kook knew electricity at this point, so, you know, that was the closest word to
it. It could be came from, I never heard that it came from Rav Kook. I mean, I know that,
I know if it did.
They said that Ben Yehuda came up with the word, but you're right. I mean, it makes sense that he
was from backwards.
Yeah. The Maisa, there's a sefer from the Puporov, The Vayagad Yaakov. The Puparov writes in Vayagad in the Akdama to Vayagad Yaakov, his father's work. He writes a whole diatribe against modern Hebrew, blasting them for using the word chashmal to mean electricity, because chashmal is some like holy spiritual lofty concept, and you're perverting that concept and using it to mean like some mundane thing that we have in our everyday life. You use electricity. That's what it says in the introduction to Vayagad Yaakov Chelek Aleph. Lamaisa, Rabbi Yisachar Doiv Goldstein Zatzal, who was the Av Bezdin of Chuk Chasam Sofer in Yerushalayim, who happens to be he was a first cousin of my grandmother, the Gedolim Hungarish Gedolim in Yerushalayim, the Eid Charedis, he was also involved with the Eid Charedis. So he disagrees, and he writes in a tshuva, in Oyel Yisachar, he disagrees with the Puparov, and he says no. The pasuk doesn't say that the Shechina is Chashmal, or was Chashmal, or whatever, or use the word Chashmal as a name of Hashem. That's not what happened. Yechezkel was giving a moshel. And remember, we have to keep this in mind throughout the whole parak. Everything we're saying is basically a moshel. When we say that there's this thing here and this thing there, it doesn't literally mean that this thing was here. It means that in Shemayim, there's something there that the idea of this thing you can say it in those words, but it represents something bigger, something deeper that we're not necessarily touching on. So it says that there was something like a chashmal. What's a chashmal? A chashmal is obviously some sort of physical fire, light type of thing. And Yechezkel is saying that when I saw the Kisei covered, it looked like a chashmal. Chashmal is the muscle for what he saw. And even what he saw is already a marshal for something deeper. So Lamaisa, he says that you don't have to be so makbid to not use the word chashmal for Lashon HaKodesh, and other the Chazanish uses the chashmal, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach uses the word chashmal, and Menashe Klein in Shalat HaTshuvas Mishnah Halachis, Chelik Vav, Simon Tzadik Hey, he also uses the word chashmal, he also says you can use the word chashmal. It's not such a bad thing. I wrote a whole thing about this in my book on Lashon HaKodesh. But say, you didn't get that far?
No. I read almost there, I think. It looks like I think I got to here.
So,
I have to finish the book. It's been a long time.
Okay, right. Vatara Nusuna Bereshe. There's a crown on his head. Well, obviously this is not to be taken literally because Hashem doesn't have a head. So you can't say that there was a crown on his head. The Ketz Hashem HaMefarish on Mitzchay. And a crown with the Shem HaMefarish is on his forehead. Obviously, again, Hashem doesn't have a forehead. So you can't say that there was a crown of Hashem HaMefarish on his forehead. I actually wrote an essay for Or Sameach about different... I have an article, I have a series over there that I write about different synonyms in Lashon HaKodesh. And I wrote once about Atara and Keser. Chaval, I forgot to look it up to remember exactly what's the difference between Atara on his head and a Keser on his forehead. And his eyes are Meshaytetais. How would you translate it? They're sort of like swimming around the whole world. They're going around the whole world and overseeing everything. Chetzai Eish V'chetzai Bohod. Half of him is fire and half of him is Bohod, which is snow or hail. Or yeah, those ice cream things that they have in this country. Mimina Chaim Ismail Umismail Moves. On his right side is life and on his left side is death. And the Radal points out the obvious over here that when we're talking about fire and ice or life and death, obviously we're talking about the concepts of Din and Rachamim, or Chesed and Gevurah. The right side of Hashem is Rachamim, which is ice or life, and the left side is Eish, which is Din, or death, or Gevurah. The same ideas, just in different terminology. V'shevet shel Eish biyadai, and Hashem holds a scepter of fire in His hand. Which the Radal is machadish, an interesting idea. Gemara talks about when Hashem punishes an angel or He punishes Eliyo and Navi, so he gives them something called Shitin Pulsa Denura. 16 Pulsa Denuras. Right? In pop culture, Pulsa Denura refers to like some sort of curse that Kabbalists gave to like Ariel Sharon, and that's why he died. Pulsa Denura literally means, let's call it pulses of fire, or lashes of fire. The Gemara talks about in different places that Hashem gives an angel a punishment, he gives him 60 lashes of fire. Right? So what's the lashes of fire coming from? So the Radal wants to say, it's coming from this Shevet Shel Eish, this scepter, the stick of fire that Hashem holds in his hand. Which obviously can't be taken literally because Hashem doesn't have a hand. Ufarechas Prusa Lefanov. And there's a curtain spread out in front of Hashem. Which again can't be taken literally. I guess the symbolism over here would be that like there's a curtain in front of him, meaning like however high you get, there's still something separating the highest being from Hashem himself. I guess that's probably like the what this parochas is symbolizing. V'shiva malachim shenivru mitchila mishasim lefanav lifnei min haparochas, and the seven angels which were created in the beginning of creation, they serve in front of Hashem on the inside of this parochas. So like they're like, you know, the inner chamber, the inner, you know, the inner cabinet of a kabiyachol of Hashem's, you know, malchus or whatever. Ruah nikra pargud, as the Radal adds, b'lashon chachamim, and that's what we call pargud in lashon chachamim. This pargud is this separation between the other angels and the seven angels that are like on the inside. V'hadayim raglav ka'esh u'barad, and Hashem's the seat of his foot, what's it called? Where you put your foot up? An ottoman.
Stool,
an ottoman. An ottoman, or a stool. His footstool, right? Hashemayim kisi v'ha'aretz hadayim raglav. Hashem has a footstool. His footstool is made, is like fire and ice. Or like fire and, what's it called?
Hail.
Fire and hail. Which again, the Radal points out, is a remnant to the ideas of din and rachamim. Fire and ice is din and rachamim. V'sachas kise kvoidoi ke'evan sapir. And underneath his holy chair, not holy chair, his honorable chair, is an evan sapir, is like a sapphire stone. Is something like a sapphire stone. That's what it seems to be saying. Under his chair is something that's like a sapphire stone. The Radal says, no, that's not pshat. He changes the girsa. So it should say like this. B'tachtov, underneath him, is a kise kvoidoi ke'evan sapir, is his chair of glory, which is like an evan sapir. Meaning, the chair of glory is an evan sapir.
Right. The pashas of the pasuk. It's
under him? Under the... So there's a pasuk that says, B'sachas raglov, k'matzah levnes ha-sapir.
That's the pasuk.
Right. So that's what it means. Underneath him. Kibiyoko underneath his foot. Not underneath the chair. Don't read it as underneath the chair. Read it as underneath him. With the capital H. Elva Chazal tell us this already. Chazal tell us that why do we wear Tcheles? Because Tcheles is supposed to remind you of Hashem. How so? Because Tcheles is Demel Yam. Yam Demel Rekia. Rekia is Demel Kisei Kovet. So what's Tcheles? Tcheles is blue. It's supposed to be blue. Pashtos. Maybe green, because there's a girsa of the Medrash that says that Tcheles is doimela asev, doimel to grass, it's comparable to grass, similar to grass, so grass is green usually, right? So maybe Tcheles is supposed to be green, but the Tcheles people don't like to hear that.
Bluegrass.
Bluegrass.
That's how they answer.
The wheatgrass. The Tcheles people don't like hearing the Medrash that says that Tcheles is supposed to be green. But whatever it is, Tcheles Pashas means blue, even though the Chavis Yor says that Tcheles is purple, but...
And the Rambam says it's black.
And the Rambam says it's black.
The Rashi says it's yellow.
But if you go with the idea that the Tcheles is blue, so blue is the blue of the Tcheles resembles the sea, and the sea resembles the sky, and the sky resembles the Kisei Kovet. So that already tells you that the Kisei Kovet itself was blue. Not that something under the Kisei Kovet was blue. So that, I think, is a raya to the girsa of the Radal. Ve'esh mislakachas svivois lekisei, and there's a fire that burns surrounding his chair. Tzedek u'mishpat mechayim kisei. Tzedek, righteousness, and Mishpat, which is justness, Mechayim Kisai, are the what's it called? Are the dwelling place of his chair. V'shiva anani kovet sevivimaisai, and there's seven clouds of glory which surround him. V'oifan hagal uchruv v'chaya nesun l'fun of shavach. V'oifan hagalgal, which would mean, I understand it to mean the wheel of his chair. V'oifan hagalgal, the wheel. Ukruv and Kruv, which is a type of an angel, and Achaya, which is a type of an angel, that's in the front of Shavach. They give, in front of Hashem, they give praise. The Radal reads it differently. The Radal says, you read it like this. V'oifan, Galgal. V'oifan is a Galgal. Ukruv, V'chaya. And a Kruv is a Chaya. That's in the front of Shavach. So the Radal understands that the point of the med over here is to tell you that a type of angel that we call Oifan is also known as Galgal. Is also known as a wheel, I guess. And the type of angel we call Kruv is also known as a Chaya. Now the problem is that the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei Torah in Perek Beis Halacha Zayin, he writes explicitly that there's 10 types of angels, and one of them he mentions is a Kruv, and one of the ones that he mentions is a Chaya. So it would seem to suggest that the Rambam did not understand the Medrash like this, or disagrees with this Medrash. If you want to read it the way the Radal reads it, that the Medrash is trying to tell you that a Kruv and a Chaya is the same thing. The Rambam is saying, no, Kruv and Chaya are two different types of angels. The Radal is saying, no, the Medrash here is telling you that it's the one type of angel. I don't see how the Radal reads it, but whatever. That's what the Radal says. I'm not so well versed in Kabbalah to assess whether the Radal is right or not. I could just tell you what he says. The other point is, In davening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we say, I mean, I don't know about you, but different people have different minhagim. In Birkas Kriya Shema, right? So you say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavak, Yismael Cholaretz Kivaydai. What's the next words? So usually you say, Boyefan Rechaitza Kadosh, Brash Kadom, Misasin, Lassin, Ophim, Osam, Shabbat. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there's another gear, so we say. Say, V'hachayais Yishayrehu, the Chayais sing about him, Uchruvim before Eru, and the Kruvim glorify him, Usrafim Yeroinu, and the Srafim exalt him, the Erelim Yivarechu, and the Erelim are going to bless him, Pinekol Chaya V'Oifan Uchruv, the face of every Chaya, Oifan and Kruv, Lumas Rafim, Lumas Meshabchim Yaymen, and then we say, Baruch Kavad Hashem Rimchim. Right? So that in this Nusach that we say, which, if I remember correctly, I was reading once that this is the original Nusach Ashkenaz that they used to say every day. And for some reason, we don't say it anymore. We only preserve it on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which a lot of the things that we say in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that Ashkenazim say in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, come from the original Nusach Ashkenaz that for some reason we just like stopped using for the rest of the year. But in this Nusach that we say, we refer specifically to Chayes and Kruvim as if they're separate entities. Chayes Yishereiru, Ukruvim Yifoyeru. Which suggests, like the Rambam, that Chayes and Kruvim are not the same thing. Not like the Radal reads our Medrash that they are the same thing. So this was my Kasha. And then I saw that the Radal over here in parentheses asks this question. And he says, yeah, it's just like a poetic thing. Like we're referring to two things, we're referring to the same thing by two different names, but it's really one thing. Okay, back to it. Udmus kisai kein sapir shel arba raglayim. The form of his chair, of Hashem's chair, is like something made of sapphire that has four legs. Va'arba chayes hakodesh kvuos al kol regel v'regel. And there's four chayes hakodesh that are set on each foot of the what's it called? Of this chair, right? The Chayis HaKadosh. Fixed. They're fixed there. They're set there. There's a story they say. I believe it's with the Gereva and Rav Shach. This was way back when Agudas Yisrael and Degel HaTorah were one unit. So there was some sort of convention and everyone was there, and the Gereva spoke, and the Gereva got up after he finished speaking and after he finished his speech, he's leaving, because like, why does he have to stay there anyway? I already gave his speech. And so after his speech, he gets up, starts leaving, and then all the Gera Hasidim who are in attendance, they want to accompany the Rebbe. So they start like pushing and shoving and getting everyone out of their way so they can go out and accompany the Rebbe on the way out. Right? So in a hot mic moment, Rav Shach apparently muttered under his breath, Chayes! Derogatorily referring to the Ger Hasidim as animal, wild animals, Chayes! On a mic that he didn't realize was turned on. And the Ger Rebbe apparently turned around and went back on the mic and said, Chayes HaKodesh! That's a good one, huh? Yeah, I heard this story in high school. I don't know if it's true or not, but they're not saying about you and me. Okay, so there's four chayes on each of the feet of the chair. One of these chayes, I bow upon him le'echas, each chaya has four faces, ve'arba knofayim le'achas mehen, and each face has four wings. Shenamer, says the pasuk, ve'arba funim le'echas, Vulgaimer, Vehen Hen and Kruvim. And these are the Kruvim. Because the Medrash is saying that the Chayes and Kruvim are one thing. Right? That's how the Radal understands it. And the Chayes, this line sort of says that. That so each Chaya has four faces, and each face, or like the Panim could also be in sides, like four, it has a front from four sides, and each one has four wings. So the Radal point it makes a Cheshvan and says 4 times 4 is 16. So each chaya has 16 wings. And these are also known as kruvim, at least according to Perkei Rabbi Elazar and the Radal, not like the Rambam and the Gersa that we say in Shanim Kippur. But now we're going to speak about Hashem speaking. Kishu medaber, when Hashem speaks, the idea like this. In the Pasuk, it says in Sefer Shmos, it says that v'diparti itcha me'al kapores mibein shnei hakruvim. Hashem says, I'm going to speak to you, Moshe, from on top of the kapores, which is the gold cover on top of the aron, mibein shnei hakruvim, from between the two kruvim, the two cherubs, which the golden cherubs were on top of the aron. So when Hashem spoke to Moshe Benu, in the physical world, it appeared as if the words of Hashem were coming from in between these two kruvim. So that, Radal says, is paralleled by the spiritual world, by the world of Merkava, where we're going to see that the words of Hashem come out from in between two kruvim. Kshu medaber, when Hashem speaks, another point is that I'm not sure if we're talking about the four feet of the Kisei Kavod. I'm pretty sure that that's what we're talking about, but it could be that we're talking about the four faces of each chaya. But I think we're talking about the four legs of the Kisei Kavod. Kshu medaber, when Hashem speaks, Pnei HaMizrach medaber, Mibein Shnei HaKruvim, Pnei Adam. When Hashem speaks from the east side, so the Dibur would come out from between the Kruvim, and on the east side, the east face. Achor, we're talking about the Chayas. The Chayas have four faces. I'm not sure if we're talking about the Chayas or the Kisei Kavod. I don't know exactly, not so familiar with this. But the east face, either we're talking about the east face of the chair or the east face of the Chayas, the east face, the Dibur would come out from between the Kruvim, and that face is the face of a man, which I think we've spoken about this before. The Sfarim said that it's the face of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu.
It's Adam Rishon. It's Yaakov Avinu.
It's the face of Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu's face resembles Adam Rishon. That's a Gemara in Bava Basra, I believe, in Nanches maybe, something like that. I think it's in Bava Basra. Maybe it's in Bava Basra or Bava Basra. I don't remember. Maybe Nonchas or Pechas. Now I'm already saying. But it's also. The point is, the Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu is Me'ein Shufrei Da Adam Rishon. But. So the thing that Yaakov Avinu saw The face of man, there's four, we're going to say that there's four faces, right? The face of man is the face of Yaakov Avinu. We spoke about in Perek Lamed Vav or Perek Lamed Hey, when we talk about the story of Yaakov Avinu seeing in the story with the ladder, when he sees the Kisei HaKavod, so he sees over there that his face is on the Kisei HaKavod. And at that time I said a vort from Rishim Shema Astropoli. Do you remember the vort? It was Yishan the vort. It says in the Pasuk, when Yaakov Avinu woke up from his dream, it says, Achein Yesh Hashem b'mokem hazeh v'anaychi lo yadati. Achein Yesh Hashem b'mokem hazeh, it is true that Hashem is there in this place, v'anaychi lo yadati, and I didn't know. Right? So it says Rav Shimshin v'Astropoli, Achein and anaychi is the same letters, except for the yud. So Yaakov Avinu is saying like this, it says the word. Achein is Reshitavis Aleh, Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher. Those are three of the animals that are on the Kista cover, like we're going to see right there. So Yaakov is saying, Ochein, Yadat, I knew that Hashem, Ochein, I knew that. But Anoichi, Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher, Yaakov, that I didn't know. I didn't realize that I was also etched. The image of my face was also etched on the Kista cover. That's Anoichi lo Yadati. Remember that? Okay, so that's the first one. The east face is the face of man. And when Hashem would speak, the face of the south would also speak between the Kruvim, and that would be the face of the lion, the king of the jungle, right? And when Hashem would speak, the western face would speak from between the Kruvim, and that would be the face of the Shor.
Why does it say Kruvim here? There's no Kruvim.
Oh!
Chayos.
One second. And when Hashem would speak, the northern face would speak from between the two Kruvim, that would be the face of the eagle. Right? So we have four faces. Man on the east, lion on the south, Shor, which is an ox, on the west, and Nasher, which is an eagle, on the north. Right? The Radal says that it could be it's a mistake. It's supposed to say that the Shor is supposed to be on the north. Switch the eagle and the ox. Shor should be north, and ox, and the eagle should be west.
Because of Yechezkel.
Oh, you know about that?
No, I'm just wondering why.
He's switching it based on the Pesukim and Yechezkel.
Okay.
Oh, so you're asking Kasha on Reb Shimshon and Astropoli, which we asked actually at the when I said it over back then. You're saying, what is the Kruv? Yeah, you're asking a question. You said
I'm asking on the Radal.
What Radal?
The Radal says the Chayos, there's no Kruv, and the Chayos were on the Kiseh. It seems like we're talking about the Kisei HaKavod,
Chayos and are proven.
Yeah. But we're now saying they're proven, so maybe that's why the Radal says here at this
that's
parak.
The same thing?
In this parak, they're referred being referred to as the same thing.
It could be.
Maybe the Radal would hold they're not the same thing everywhere.
Ah.
But right here, we said there's Chayos, and now that she was speaking through the Kruvim, we didn't talk about Kruvim yet.
It could be. No, but I thought you were asking something else, because we said Ochein was Aryeh Kruv Nesher, or Aryeh Nesher Kruv Yaakov, right? But what are the four animals?
Aryeh
Nesher, Adam, and Shor. The Rav Shimshon Astropoli switched Shor for Kruv, right?
So there's a Kruv isn't an animal.
Kruv's not one of the four, right?
Chazal
elsewhere tell us that originally Shor was one of the four animals on the Kisei HaKavod, like it says over here in Pirkei Eliezer. But by the Cheder Egel, Hashem switched out Shor and replaced it with the Kruv.
And in Yechezkel, it's a Kruv? No, it's a Shor in Yechezkel, which came after that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the questions they ask on the Medrash. But I think that there's like a steer in Yechezkel, something like that. Could be there's like a, or maybe it's a steer between Yechezkel and Yeshaya. I don't remember exactly the whole sugya, but there's such a it's a sugya. Lumasom, opposite them, Hoifanim v'galgalei Merkava. Opposite them are the Hoifanim and the Galgalei Merkava, the wheels of the Merkava, which again the Radal says, Menush means to tell you that the Hoifanim and the Galgalei Merkava are the same thing. Chushu Yoishev, when Hashem sits, can be Yahol, because Hashem doesn't literally sit. Yoishev Akise Romanisa. He sits on a high and exalted chair. Right? Meaning, the Radal sort of says this, and he doesn't say it in these words exactly, but what he means, I think he means to say, is that, like, obviously Hashem doesn't physically sit, but what we mean to say is that, like, the glory of Hashem is such that if Hashem would sit, this is the type of chair that he would sit on. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't sit because he doesn't have a corporeal existence. There's no physical tangibility of Hashem sitting. Even though in Perek Gimel we said, I don't want to say that. Fine. When Hashem mashkif ala aretz, when Hashem mashkif. It means to look.
Over.
No, but mashkif means like it's a very strong looking. It's
look
a
down upon.
It's a.
That's a beat.
Hashem like looks intently upon the earth. Makavosav al hoifanim. I don't know what that means. His riding is on the hoifanim. I don't know exactly what that means. Like he rides on the hoifanim, something like that. The Radal says that what does it mean when he's mashkif al aretz? It means when Hashem is doing a very strong level of hashkacha pratis divine intervention in the world, which we say in Pirkei Devar Eliezer, like say in Pirkei Yudalet, we say Eser Yuridos. Hashem came down to the world 10 times, so the Lashon Yurida we explain as a very strong level of obvious divine intervention, negating the laws of nature. So the Radal says that like it's that type of intervention that we're talking about over here. That's Lashon of Yerida. He says Zel Lashon Yerida Haksiva Ben Yanim Elu. That's what it means, Yerida. I think that's what he's saying. Umikol Zakas Galgalei Hamerkava Brakim Ru'amim Yetzin Loilam. And from the crying or the call or the noise of the wheels of Hashem's Merkava, Brakim Ra'amim Yetzin Loilam, lightning and thunder come down to the world. And the Radal says that it doesn't mean to tell you that whenever we have lightning and thunder, it means that the Kisei HaKavod is moving because the wheels are moving and it's making noise and lightning. That's not what it means. Rather, it means that when it does that, when the Kisei HaKavod moves, this is one of the things that comes out. But it's not coming to give you like a supernatural explanation for lightning and thunder. That's not the Kavanah of the Medrash over here. Kishu Bashamayim, when Hashem is in the Shemayim, Reichev al Av Kal, Hashem rides on a light cloud. Shinema, it says the pasuk, Vayirkav al Kruv Kal, and he rides on a light cloud. Other Mefarshim say, no, it's a mistake. The Bais HaGadol says, no, it's a mistake. It's supposed to say a different girsa, bring a different pasuk. Pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Hine Hashem Rechev al Av Kal. Behold, Hashem is riding on a light cloud. And the Radal defends the other gifts. I don't exactly know what's going on over here, but there's a sort of a machlekas, which pasuk does the Medrash mean to bring? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and Daf Gimel, Amid Beis, the Gemara goes through Hashem's daily schedule. And the Gemara says, what does Hashem do at night? So the Gemara says that Hashem is Rechev al Kruv Kal. He's riding on a light kruv and, you know, going around the world. Whatever exactly that means. But it's a, you know, it's a Gemara already. Now there's one thing I'm going to say it, and I didn't really look into it, but it is something that exists. In Ugaritic literature, in Ugaritic literature, that's so based on the Canaanite religion, that was found in, you know, northern Lebanon or whatever. So one of the things they describe about the Baal, Lahavdil, is that the Baal was somebody who would ride on a light cloud. They use the exact same expression about Baal that we use from Hashem. You have to know what to make of that exactly. It could be the idea is because before Avodah Zarah really came into the world, everyone knew about Hashem and what Hashem did and everything. And this is one of the facts of Hashem's existence. And then they sort of perverted that notion and used it to describe the Baal, especially because Baal is somebody who's associated with the weather. He's known as a storm god, rain god, weather god, whatever they want to call him. So they used that expression that was originally known to mankind as a way of understanding something about Hashem, and they used it for Baal. It's like the exact words, Rechev al-Av Kal. They have a different word for cloud, but yeah. Uchashuhu Mimaher, when Hashem wants to go fast, right, because he's riding, I don't know what that means exactly, he wants to go fast, but when he goes fast, Dayal Kanfei Ruach, he glides on the wind, on the wings of the wind. Shenema vayirkav al kruv vayayif. He rides on a kruv, on a cherub, and he flies. Vayed al kanfei ruach. And he glides on the wings of the wind. I don't know what that means. V'hachayis, and the chayis stand next to the kisei kavod. V'ein yaydais mikrem kvaydei, and they do not know the location of His holiness, of His glory. Meaning they don't know where exactly Hashem is. They just know that He's like around.
Why, when He's out at night, or always?
So the chayis always. The Rada brings from the Gra that the Gra deletes this line because it has nothing to do with really what we're talking about at this point. And this exact line actually appears again in a few more lines in the Medrash. So that's what the Radal does with it. The Chayis stand in fear and in awe and in shaking and in quivering. So they're very scared. Like we say, the Radal says, like we say in Birkas Kriya Shema in the morning, we say Be'em of Yira. We say it twice. Oyne Be'em of Aimim B'Yira. Or we say Oyne Be'em of Yira. Be'em of Yira. It's in Kainam. Right? So the angels are doing Be'em of Yira. They're in fear and awe and they're shaking of Hashem. Umezeas Pnehem, and from the sweat of their faces, Nohar shall eish meishech v'yaitze lefanav. A river of fire comes forth from in front of him and pulls forth from in front of him. Draws forth from in front of him. Shinama says the pasuk, Nahar di Nur, the river di Nur, which is in some place, some people understand it to mean it's a proper name. It's the di Nur river. We're saying no. Nahar, river di of. In Aramaic, D means of. Nur, meaning fire. Noged v'nafek min kadamahi. It's drawn and comes out from in front of him. It's puzzling in Daniel. Shnayim srafim oimdim. Two srafim stand.
L'kol echad v'echad after that.
What?
Oh, I'm reading the wrong line. Oh.
Shnayim Srafim Oimdim. Two Srafim, which is a type of angel that, yeah, we didn't speak about Srafim yet. Two Srafim stand. Echad miyimino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'echad mismoilei. One Sraf, Seraph in the English, right? One Seraph on God's right side and one Seraph on His left side. Shish Knofayim u'chol echad ve'echad. Six wings for each one. The Radal says, don't read it as six wings, meaning 12 wings, meaning like six on one side, six on the other side. Rather, it means six wings for each. Each seraph has six wings altogether, meaning there would be three pairs of wings on each seraph. Not 12 wings altogether, but six wings altogether. What do these seraphim do with their six wings? So the Medrash says, B'shtayim yichasefonov, with its two wings, it covers the face of Hashem. I believe maybe it means it covers its own face, but I think it means it covers the face of Hashem. Actually, you know what? Maybe it means
they're on his right and his left.
No, yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe it means it covers its own face. I didn't look at the pasuk in Yeshaya, but with the two with two wings, with one senses. With one pair of wings, it covers it covers its own face, I think it means. So that they won't look at the face of the Shechina. I would assume that these are its two uppermost wings. I don't know why, it just makes sense, that assumption. I would say its lower pair of wings, the lower set, it would cover its feet, so that they won't see the Pnei Shechina, so that its feet won't be visible to the Shechina. In order to make Hashem forget kibiyochol the establishment of the foot of the eagle. Be like this. One second. The pasuk in Yechezkel says v'kaf raglehem k'kaf regel eagle. The feet of these seraphim look like the foot of a calf. Right? And because the feet of the seraphim look like the foot of the calf, so if Hashem would see the foot of the seraphim, it would remind him kibiyochol of the chen ha'egel, and that would cause a kitrug against Bnei Yisrael. So therefore, the seraphim cover their feet so that the Shechina won't see it, in order to sort of suppress the idea of the egel. Yeah, what is your gears to say? Shelo yiyu megulei saraglayim ki'ilu royos pnei Shechina. So that it won't look like their feet are looking at Hashem. I don't know what that means, but okay, you have a different gesta that says that. So it won't look like the feet are looking at Hashem. I'm not sure exactly what that means. So this is similar to like what we said a few minutes ago, that Hashem switched out the shor for the kruv so that it won't be a kitrug against Bnei Yisrael for doing the chen ha'egel. So too, the seraphim cover their feet with their lowermost. With the bottom pair of wings, so that their bovine like feet won't be in front of the Shechina and cause a kitrug against Bnei Yisrael, Chas v'Shalom. Stam, a small point over here. The Radah points out, what does it say? It says they would cover their feet. Does that bother you? How many feet do angels have?
Two.
So in Perek Mem Vav, we spoke about that angels have 1 foot. That's why Klal Yisrael. That's why we stand by Kedusha, we put our feet together to make it look like we have 1 foot. Angels don't walk. So that's why we stand. That's why there's a minute to stand on Yom Kippur. Whatever. But the point is that angels only have 1 feet. 1 foot. So what do you mean they're covering their feet? But the answer is, as the Radal points out, we're talking about two angels.
We're
talking about two seraphim. These two seraphim would cover their feet collectively. Each one would cover its own foot.
How about man was made in the image of angels? Angels have the image of man, and Hashem said, let's make man like our image. This image of legs and feet and everything.
So the Gemara in Chagiga says, on Daf.
Meaning each part of the body represents another.
The Gemara Chagiga on Daf Tez Zayin, Omer Aleph, Gemara says that when Hashem created man, He made man halfway between an animal and an angel. Man was similar to an angel in two ways, and similar to an animal in two ways. He was similar to an angel in that man possessed intelligence and stood upright with his neck erect, as opposed to an animal that was like hunched over with his leg looking downwards. And man resembled animals in that man has a digestive and reproductive systems. So you're right that man does resemble angels, but not 100%. In certain ways, yeah.
It represents the midos of Hashem.
In certain ways, man is more like an angel than an animal, but it's not 100%. It's not every single prat. We don't have wings. I guess most types of angels do have wings. So it's not exact. It's not exactly 100%. Yeah, weiter. Uvishtayim ma'ayfafais. Okay, so the way I understand it is the upper two wings of the seraphim, they used to cover their face so they don't see the Shechina. The bottom two wings of the seraphim, they used to cover their legs so that the Shechina won't see their legs, or the gear said that you had it so that their legs won't see the Shechina, or won't look like their legs are looking at the Shechina.
Revealed.
Right.
So that it looks like a looking Mishkan.
What about the middle two wings? Says the Medrash. V'shtayim. I understand these are talking about the middle two wings. Mu'ayfafais. They would fly up. Umaritzim. And they would make important. They would make important. Umakdishim. And they would sanctify Ishmael Gadol, the name of Hashem. They would fly up and say praises of Hashem. And just like when we say Kedusha in Chazaras Hashatz, so the minhag is that you like go up with your feet. Just like these angels, they go up and then they sing the praise of Hashem.
Why does it say they go up?
Mo'ifafim.
Yeah, but then originally we started by saying that they're next to Hashem.
Right, they're next to him.
And it was on those eight of Kisa
Hagar. But then they go up.
What do you mean they go up? Mo'ifafim.
Mo'ifafim means they fly. They go up, they fly up.
It doesn't mean fly up, it just means they're flying.
Mechor means they fly up. And then that's their preparation to sing the praise of Hashem. They fly up a little bit and then they start singing the praises that they're about to say. Umaritzim, umagdishim. Maritzim.
That's what we say in Kedusha.
1 second. Maritzim is like they make him esteemed or they make him important. Umagdishim and they sanctify him. Meshmoya Godo. Right? That's what we say in Kedusha. In the same order. Naritzcho v'nagdishcho. Maritzim, umagdishim. Right? That's what Ashkenazim say, by Kedusha. What do Sephardim say? They say the opposite. They say Nagdishach, Naritzach. There's two changes.
Oh yeah.
One change is that we say Naritzcha and Nagdishcha. First Naritz and then Nagdish, mimicking or echoing the Lashon of Pekid Abeliezer. The Sephardim switch it. They do Nagdish and then Naritz, and also. Us Ashkenazim, we generally refer to Hashem in davening as Lashem Zachar. So we say, Naritzcha v'nagdishcha.
They're also referring to him.
No, they don't. Zachar. They don't.
You're saying it's not a
Sephardim,
grammatical.
Sephardim say, reason? No. Sephardim say, Nagdishach v'naritzach.
Even still, grammatically, if it's at the end of a phrase and it changes to the female, it's still male. It's just a grammatical correction. It doesn't mean female.
First of all, that's in Lashon. That's in Lashon Tanakh. I don't know if that's true outside of
Chumash. It happens in Chumash. I've seen it.
In Chumash, yeah, I'm saying in Tanakh, it's like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's not like that in Lashon Chachamim.
Why not? It's a rule of grammar.
I don't know if it's always like that in Tanakh.
Check this Lashon
Kodesh. Yeah,
we'll that book.
But the point is that the Ashkenazim go
with the whole machlokas geshem or gashem.
No, that's different.
It's the same machlokas.
It's a similar point.
It's zachar and nekeva, but it's the same point. If it's at a pause, it changes the.
Fine, but even the niach that you're right, that we're talking about the beginning of a sentence. Is it nagdishach or naritzach or naritz?
The beginning of the sentence, it could be for them. There's one word and there's a pause, there's another word and there's a pause, and that's why they switch it. And it's still male, it's just because of the way they say it. It's the machlokas is between saying Shkiva Ruch U Morida Geshem or Hagashem is how do you say it? Is it there a pause there? If there's a pause there, it should be with a kamatz. If there's no pause, it's just reading, it should be the real word.
It could be you're right.
This is how I was taught.
Okay, it could be you're right. I don't know. The pashas is that...
Even at the beginning of the sentence, you can have this.
Okay.
Sephardim do it anyways at the beginning of the sentence.
Well, it's still not. Yeah.
Kishata
omer negdishach v'naritzach. Okay? Zelosh in the keva or zelosh in the zohar? Ashkenazim v'naritzach v'naritzach. אתם אומרים נקדישך ונריצך. זה לא של הקבע או לא של זכר?
אני אומר זה לכם זכר, אבל בגלל הנקודות, בגלל זה יש, אני לא יודע איך...
אתה בהחלטה.
בהחלטה.
אז תזהר.
זה הפוך לנקבע, אבל עדיין זה לא זכר.
למה? זה
לא מתן
שזה זכר. נקדישך.
אתה מדבר כאילו על השכינה, ושכינה זה לא של נקבע או משהו כזה, לא? אולי. סיק?
לא שמתי לב.
צריך לדעת. דיקטור.
אתה אומר שזה לא של זכר?
מה?
נקדישך זאת אומרת, נקדיש לך, זה זכר ודאי.
כן.
נקדיש לך, זה זכר. זה מה אתם אומרים, זה אשכנזים אומרים.
כן.
אבל זאת אומרת, נקדיש לך ונעריץ
לך. בסוף, 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 אף אופי שזה זכור, זה הפוך. גם באשכנזים, למקבות, בגלל זה. אף אופי זה המילה, זה...
לא יודע.
שכוח.
זה אני בטוח.
שכוח,
שבוע טוב שיהיה לכם. דומה לך.
ומי דומה לך?
או.
מי דומה לך?
זה לא
שזוכר,
בגלל.
למה זה לא מי דומה לך?
כן.
מי דומה לך?
בגלל זה, בגלל... איך אומרים זה? הדבר הזה.
פסיק.
פסיק. בגלל זה יש פסיק, זה הפוך ללך. לא לך.
It's not a quotation from a pasuk.
מי כמוך באלגברה? So מי דומה לך?
I was taught grammar. That's what I was taught.
I
and Sephardim use it a lot more because
they pause
pauses, because they pause more. So they read things. Use it with pauses. That's why in Shabbos their bracha and the bracha their bracha is all the ach 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 ach. You know what I'm talking about? Have you been by Sephardim school?
I don't know.
I'll show you. You continue your share.
We have also one of the, let's say in
here.
In Slichos, we say, one second.
No,
we say.
Sfar doesn't do it as much, but here's one case.
One second. In Slichos.
Sabinu mituvecha v'samachah.
Sabinu mituvecha. Amen, amen, amen.
But they are all ach.
Yeah, here.
Ach. Because they're reading it as psikim.
Or also in Slichos, we say, Aseh l'man mituvecha, Aseh l'man bishach, Aseh l'man delach, v'sifar toch. In Ashkenaz says, Seman Amitecha, Seman Brisecha, Seman Gadlecha, Mesiva. Okay, it's the same thing. It could be right, I don't know.
That's what I learned in
English. Well, our listeners at home will have to decide which one is right, or maybe it's Mochlekes, I don't know.
No, I'm saying a better point. How it's being used, I don't know.
Yeah, here.
I'm suggesting that's how it's being used, that it could be like that. It could be the way you're saying, they're referring to the Shechina.
Okay, so the Srafim, they fly up, and now they're gonna be Mekadesh Shem Hashem. Ze Oina veze Kairet. This one answers, and this one calls out. What do you mean, this one answers, this one calls out? Usually, it's the opposite way. One calls out, Kairet means you call him, and then the other one answers. Why is it saying answering before calling out? So the Radha switches the gears, and he says, no, it's supposed to be that Ze Kairet veze Oina. This one calls, he says, let's praise Hashem. And then the other one answers back, and together they say in unison, Va'imrim, they say collectively, Kadosh, 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 Holy, 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 Hashem Tzavakos, Hashem of the legions, Meloich al Aretz Kavodai, the entire Aretz, the entire land, the entire earth is filled with His glory. V'achayais Oimdais Eitzel Kavodai, and the Chayais are standing next to His glory, or His honor. And they don't know where His glory or honor is. They don't know where He is, because you can't see Hashem, because Hashem is non-corporeal, so He doesn't have a physical existence. You can't actually see exactly where He is, because there is no exactly where He is, right? What do they do? So we say, you know what we say? We say that... One second, we say, they, in Musaf or on Shabbos, we say that they ask each other. Misharsav, Shailim Zelazet, his servants ask each other, Ayyeh Bekrem Kavaydai, Laharifai, where is his glorious place, so that we could be married to him, so we could esteem him. And then they say, Vo'imreis, and they say, the Medr says, B'chol makim shekvayde Hashem, wherever His glory is, Moch kvayde Hashem emkayim. Blessed is Hashem, Hashem's glory from its place. Wherever, I don't know exactly where it is. Wherever it is, Hashem should be blessed. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Mm-hmm. That's the story of the Malachim giving praise to Hashem in the Shemayim. That was all the lofty things. Now let's get back down to earth. Yisrael, the Jews, Goyachad Baretz, they are a singular nation in the world, Shehem Meyachadim Shemoy Tomid B'chol Yoyim, that they declare the unity of Hashem's name continuously every day. Maybe Tamid should be changed maybe to like Pamayim B'chol Yom. They do it, or B'chol Yom, something like that, because we do it twice a day. Oinim, they answer V'oimrim, and they say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elikeinu Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel Hashem, our God Hashem is one. V'lo Meshev La'ama Yisrael, and he, Hashem, answers back to his nation Israel, and he says, Ani Hashem Elikeichem Hamatzil Eschem Mikol Ra'is. I am Hashem, your God, who saves you from all troubles. Okay. Now, some a shver point over here. It says Bnei Yisrael answers, right? Bnei Yisrael, Oynim Ve'Oymim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elikeinu Hashem Echad. What does it mean that Bnei Yisrael answers Shema Yisrael Hashem Elikeinu? Who are they answering? What does it mean answering? So the hemshich, the flow of our medrash seems to suggest that Bnei Yisrael is answering the Malachim. The Malachim said, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And then the Malachim said, Baruch Kavod Hashem Elikeinu Hashem Echad. And now Bnei Yisrael is answering and saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elikeinu Hashem Echad. That's what it seems to be saying. However, the Radal says it can't be, because Gemara Chulin, and it's also Gemara in Bereshis Rabba, says, Ein Malachei Hasharis Omrim Kedusha Lamala Ad Yisrael Mekadshin Lamata. Them angels can't say Kedusha up until Bnei Yisrael says Kedusha down. Gemara Chulin, Daf Tzadik Aleph, I think it is. The angels have to wait for us to say Kedusha first. We have to say Kedusha first. Then the angels can say Kedusha. So who are we? What does it mean that the Jews einim va'aymim? They answer and they say. What are they answering? Who are they answering to? What's the answer? Okay, so remind me. We'll get back to this point in a moment. There's another point over here about this. The Chazal tell us that Bnei Yisrael is on a higher level than angels, because angels can't say the Shema Hashem until they say three words beforehand. They need a three-word, let's say, call it a preparation, until they're worthy to say the name of Hashem. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That's three words. Now they can say Hashem. Right? Mm-hmm. Bnei Yisrael is on a higher level. Bnei Yisrael can say Hashem after two words. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? Just two words. Shema Yisrael. Then they can say Hashem Hashem. Or this medrash is also found in Parshas Hazinu. Where's my notes? Parshas Hazinu on the pasuk of Ki Shem Hashem Ekro Halogaydel Elikim. Ki Shem is two words. Hashem. Oh, Bnei Yisrael can say Hashem because they can say it after two words. They're on a higher level than the Malachim. So that's spoken out about right over here. Okay. Now this is a very interesting thing. The Radal says, I mean, he brings Sefer Pardes HaGadol from Rashi. Rashi wrote a Sefer called Pardes HaGadol. Rashi writes that why do we say Shema Yisrael in Kedusha by Musaf on Shabbos and in Yom Tov? Why do we say Shema? Why? It's like kind of an awkward thing. Like, what Shaychus? Right? Why is Shema put in the middle of Kedusha? So Rashi explains that once upon a time, and I believe this was under the Byzantine rule, after the Romans, basically, the Eastern Roman Empire was called the Byzantines. It was centered in Constantinople. Try spelling that.
I know.
Known as Istanbul, mm-hmm. Right?
Constantinople. Istanbul was once Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Yeah.
Song.
Oh yes,
but they might be giants.
Al Kopanim. So Constantinople, the Byzantines made it. I believe it was the Byzantines. They made it zera that the Jews are not allowed to publicly say Kriya Shema.
They read about this in the art school.
Yeah, that's probably where I got the fact that it was the Byzantines from.
Yeah.
Because
it wasn't the Byzantines.
I believe it was.
That's. I don't remember that myself.
Why?
I remember it being some Arab land king. He decided not going to happen. He just ruled over.
I seem to remember it was the Byzantines, because I'll tell you why. Because what's so offensive of saying Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad? If you believe in Trinity, so saying Shema Yisrael is an affront to your religion, because there's supposed to be three gods. Right? How do you say Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad? What do you mean one? There's supposed to be three. Right? So when the Jews say one, that's blasphemous. And that's what I believe it was the Byzantines, because that was the first Christian kingdom that the Eretz Yisrael came under. Mm-hmm. Right? So they made a rule that you're not allowed to say Shema publicly in shul. Mm-hmm. So what they would do was they wouldn't. So they had people there, whatever, in the morning by shacharis they wouldn't say Shema. And then, by the time they got up to Musaf, the inspectors weren't there already or whatever, they would like get the shtupin in the middle of Musaf, you sing it nicely and no one chaps it, you're actually saying the words Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, and that's what they were able to do it. They like, you know, slipped it into Musaf.
It's very loud.
What?
It's very loud.
What's very loud?
I'm saying
Shema. Oh, but you're singing it with the niggin and the this and that, whatever, and they don't, you know, people wouldn't realize or something like that.
So that means it's the mitzvah.
Right.
They made it the mitzvah instead of with brachos.
Right. And then eventually they rescinded this decree. But Rashi says that even though they rescinded this decree, we still keep this minhag of saying Shema in the middle of Kedusha as a zecher to the nes that Hashem made that He got rid of this decree from us.
That's fascinating.
So the Radal coming back to our Medrash, the Radal says that that's pshat in the Medrash. The Bnei Yisrael says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and Hashem answers back, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Hamatzei Eschem Mikol Tzoros. I am Hashem who saves you from all tzoros, referring like specifically to an example of this tzora, of this gzera against the Jews that they're not allowed to say Shema. That's what Radal says. Now, another point the Radal makes is the Radal says that this piece over here, and we've sort of been going with this implicitly, but now I'm going to say it explicitly. The Radal says that this piece of Pirkei Deblezer over here at the end of the parak is coming to explain the nusach of Kedusha that we say in davening, right? And it's coming to explain it. Where is it coming from? What are we doing exactly over here, right? And the Radal says that it's coming specifically to explain the nusach of the Kedusha we say by Musaf on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It is an interesting piece the Radal writes in parentheses. It says he was once, that for he spent some time in the year Tav Kuf Tzadik Ches, which is 1838. The Radal spent some time in a place called Schlüsselburg, and apparently he wasn't able to get a minyan there in Schlüsselburg. Maybe it's a jail. I'm not sure. It says Mivtzar. Mivtzar is like a fortified city. So maybe it's like a fort or a jail. Or maybe he was there for health reasons. I'm not sure what he was doing there exactly. But the Radal writes that he was in Schlüsselburg in 1838. And he didn't have a minion over there. So on Shabbos by Musaf, instead of saying Kedusha because there wasn't a minion, he would read this passage of Pirkei Deblezer. And that's instead of saying Kedusha. Because you have all the psukim that you say in Kedusha. Sort of dollarize.
The words of the Kedusha seem to indicate to me,
yeah,
that this is not to do with that.
With what the angels are doing.
Yeah, it's sort of like the angels are doing. No, it's the angels do this. That's what the angels do, and then they say.
And then now we're saying you tefillah.
That's what the angels do, and this is what the people do. It's sort of describing, that's what they do.
It's even more than that. Let's read it. After they say Baruch Kvar Hashem Yom Kaimai, so now we're saying something which seems to be like an unrelated tefillah. We say, from his place, he should turn with mercy to his nation. And he should be gracious towards the nation who unify his name, morning and evening, every day continuously, twice a day with love, they say Shema, but then we say Shema.
It's like, this is what Hashem does to these people who do this.
Right, or we're saying Hashem should grant mercy and should be gracious to us. It's a new tefillah. Yeah, that's what it seems like. Like there's no connection.
No, but it doesn't mean. Okay.
So, but one second, there seems to be a connection because Pirkei Deblezer, well, going back to what I told you, remind me of. Pirkei Deblezer said, Yisrael are oinim v'oimim. They answer and they say. What are they answering? What's the call that they're answering? So the Radal wants to say two pshatim. One's a shtickle chidishtik, and one, I think that's pasha pshat. What are they answering? He says, we're talking about Musaf. Specifically, we're talking about Musaf. So if we're talking about Musaf, the Kedusha of Shachris already happened. When Klai Yisrael said Kedusha down here, the angels in the heavens said Kedusha afterwards, because they wait for Bnei Yisrael to say Kedusha. So when it says that Bnei Yisrael is answering, we're answering back to the Kedusha of the Malachim from Shachris, and we're adding Shema Yisrael. That's how the Radal reads it. It's a little bit of a stretch. It's like a Chiddush that like we're going back on that Kedusha. Okay, it's a funny var. But the second pshat is more a little bit more accurate. He says that what it means that they answer is that they're answering the Chazan. That makes a lot more sense, right? Because the Chazan says, and then everyone says Shema Yisrael. So that's what it means that Bnei Yisrael are Oinim V'Oimim. Alright, that's basically Perek Dalet in a nutshell.
You were supposed to ask you Oinim V'Oimim, but that was all
I said. Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
Alright, Shkoyach.
Wow.